And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I hope you'll get out a pencil and paper or a pen, because you might want to take some notes today, and you might want to listen very closely to what I tell you. I've got some revelations to tell you about, some disclosures, and then I've got some warnings for you and for America that I pray you will heed. It may mean the financial survival of you, your family, certainly the United States of America, but I'm more interested in you, my good friends out there, listeners of this radio program and friends of Power of Prophecy Ministries. You know, we've been here for a quarter of a century, 25 years. We started out as Living Truth Ministries. We changed that, about halfway through. And we've been Power of Prophecy, really, you might just say the whole time. 25 years then has been right here. We've been in the building we're in now at 1708 Patterson Road for, well, Jerry, what is it, about 15 years now, something like that, 15 years. And perhaps I have a little bit of tenure, a little bit of credibility. People talk about the legacy of Tex Mars. Well, I've only wanted the legacy to be that I served my Lord Jesus Christ and did what was right. So you don't have to worry about writing an epitaph on my grave that's going to be long and lengthy. In fact, I was telling Wanda, you know, you have to actually pay most of the city newspapers, now the large newspapers. When you die, they'll put, you know, three lines about you, you know, so-and-so, you know, Nancy Jones died. And, you know, she succeeded by so-and-so or survived by so-and-so, you know. Anyway, they'll do three or four lines free, but if you want the typical obituary, you know, that's even a couple of paragraphs long, to say something nice about you being a homemaker, a member of this church, or that you spent time in the military during your living years, all that, they actually charge you money. Somebody was telling me the other day they paid over $1,000 to have a long obituary for their loved one. Seems today that everything costs money and more money. And there's nothing that the government says in terms of financial statistics that we can believe in. How many are unemployed? If whatever the government says, double the number. What's the cost of living increase? Well, the government has told Social Security recipients that for the last 2 years, their cost of living has not gone up at all. And they ripped them, they ripped elderly in terms of their Social Security payments, because the law says they're supposed to get increases according to the cost of living allowance. But the government lied and says the costs haven't gone up. Now, I watch financial things very closely because I feel it's my responsibility to tell you, my good friends, wherever you're at in the world, most of you are in the United States, but we have listeners in Ireland, in Romania, in Russia, and even in Israel, in the Middle East, we have listeners. And every country in the world today is financially at jeopardy. You and I know that. There are some countries more than others that are on the edge of, or the verge of bankruptcy. And I'm talking about countries like Spain, Portugal, Greece, Ireland. But there are many others. The United States isn't such a fat cat nation anymore itself. Not if we've given most of our largesse and riches away, secretly, as we'll discover in a few minutes here. Now listen, I don't want to brag and say I told you so, but I do believe that I speak with some authority, because over the years I have published financial reports like the one today, and, you know, I've never told you, you know, God told me to tell you this. And I'm not going to tell you that today, but God has given me a sound mind on finances. And I do understand the direction that our economy is headed. And when I put out a report, and I only do so about once every couple of years, I want you to sit down and check it out and, you know, put it on your calendar. And remember what I told you and go back 2 years from now to see if what I told you is so. Now, I just told you this is not, you know, thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith Tex Mars based on the sound mind God has given me. It, you know, I'm subject to error just like a lot of people. But I haven't been wrong yet in 25 years, so you may want to think about that every couple of years when I issue you a financial bulletin. You know, it's been some 3 years ago, I was at Pastor Butch Paul's conference in West Virginia, and we just had the crash, and the stock market had fallen from, what, 14,000 on the Dow to around 6,500. It had just come up a little bit, maybe up to 7,000 or something on the Dow. And everybody there was running around buzzing like bees, worrying about should they buy food and gold and military arms and what was going to happen. And they thought the Great Depression was going to be right around the corner within months. And everybody was frightened. And I just went in there with a big smile on my face. And I told everybody, no, don't worry about it right now. We're going to see what appears to be a miniature recovery. Things aren't going to get back the way they were, but they will be better. And the stock market's going to go up, and the price of gold will go up, and everything will look just sugary over the next couple of years. Well, I must have been the most unpopular speaker there with all the other speakers, because they were selling all these things. And people came up to me later and said, you know, people were over there buying gold for me like crazy and buying survival food and all this stuff until you spoke, and now they're not so worried anymore. The problem with you, Tex Mars, is people believe what you say. They wanted to keep selling their survivalist equipment and all that. Now, listen, I think you should buy those things. I never said don't buy them. In fact, I told people gold would go up. The economy would improve. Go out and buy stocks, I told them. Boy, they really couldn't believe that because they thought the stock market was going to head down and be no more than 1,000. They said, well, so-and-so told me this, and Don McElvaney told me this, and this other guy told me this, and this guy said this on the radio, and he said, you know, Chicken Little is here and the sky is falling. And I said, well, Chicken Little is wrong, and he'll probably be eaten at a Kentucky's Fried Chicken soon. So... But again, some people were dubious, and now they write me letters and say, you know, what you said there at that conference is true. And it was. I told you the same thing after 9/11. I told you the same thing about the economy after Katrina, Hurricane Katrina and Rita hit Texas, Louisiana, and the Gulf Coast. Everything I said did come to pass. Now, I only tell you that, and I usually don't go around. You know, I don't have a show here where it says, I told you so. I'm such a big smartaleck that I know it all. It's not true. I realize I don't know everything. So that means when I do tell you these things ever so often, take note of them. If I went on the air every week and told you Chicken Little is here and the sky is falling and it didn't fall, well, come slap me across the face. You'll remember that I warned everybody that about Y2K, yes, there may be problems, but also said, don't worry, you don't have to go out and buy, equipment, you know, diesel generators, because the whole electric grid is going to go down. I said, if there are problems, it'll probably only last days. And I explained why. Why would Y2K not be as massive a breakdown as even the government was warning us might happen? All the computer experts were warning us. It was right to be scared because the government was informing you and telling you what you needed to do and to prepare for Y2K. So, you know, I wanted to take due diligence, and I said, it's good. We'll even help you in finding some good dried food. And it's always good to have one of these big Berkeys. We sell those. You could have a tornado, a hurricane, or a flood in your neighborhood, your very neighborhood, this spring, and you'll need those things. Even if the rest of the United States is nice, safe, and dry, you may have a flood or a tornado or a hurricane or some other calamity happen in your area. Wanda, you know, my precious wife, I met her. She lived at the time in Tucson, Arizona. I said, boy, this place sure is dry. Look at this desert. Look at these cacti. But one day, I woke up and it was raining. It's very rare, you know, for Tucson, Arizona, although it seemed to rain quite a bit the summer that I was there. Maybe God was trying to tell me, you know, I found the right lady for you. So the rain is coming, Tex, even in the desert. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I did marry Wanda based on that summer that I spent there and met a wonderful gal, married her. That was a long time ago when I was young and foolish, but I was wise in that one decision. Now, when the rains came in Tucson, Arizona, they had what they called the arroyos, which sort of like riverbeds that were dry, but they filled up. You could be camping out in the desert or something. It had been dry, hadn't rained for 78 days in a row. Suddenly they would have a downpour and the flood would come. It would be like, you know, the Grand Canyon was full up. There were people that drowned in the arroyos. How can you drown out in the desert? Well, that happened. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in America. And I'm going to have to say to you, this may sound like a rant, but I'm a little angry. No, that's not. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not a little angry. I'm really angry. I'm really indignant. And I'm going to tell you how the way the system really works, and it's going to be so unbelievable to you, you won't believe it. Now, you can go down and get Professor Samuelson's book that all the colleges sell, and the students all study it for Economics 101. It'll tell you all kind of things. You can get the books written by Alan Greenspan. He's written a book or two. Or all these other economic experts. I mean, there's thousands of books you can get at the library on economics. But, you know, it's sort of like reading Satan's manifestos. They're full of baloney and lies and propaganda. Now, let me tell you how money really works. It's so simple, but they don't want you to know it, so they fuzz it up, make it complicated. But first of all, I want to start off by telling you how the money system works. But it's going to be so easy, you won't believe it. You're going to say, that's not true. Has to be more complicated than that. But here it is. The Federal Reserve of the United States, unconstitutionally, though it may be, the Fed prints as much money electronically, that is, and even with the printing presses to that effect, they do use our U.S. mints that are, located in various places across America, in San Francisco and the United States and Denver, or in the Dallas area and in Denver and so forth, Philadelphia. But listen to me. Mainly it's all done electronically. They just credit different banks and corporations with money. In other words, it's like, you know, you wake up at 9 o'clock and you have nothing in your bank account, but at 5 minutes after nine, you have $48 million there. How did it get there? The Fed injected it in there. How did they get it? They just created it out of thin air. Some computer operator was given a little slip of paper and they typed in, you know, the code for $48 million to be put in your account. Well, that would be nice to get that in your account, but I'm sorry. You're not one of the criminal elite, so you're not going to get it. But the criminal elite get this all the time. Electronic money, free money. The kind you only see in Monopoly games. All right. The Fed creates money. And they give the money to whoever they want. Mostly to banks, but also some corporations. And they print, electronically or otherwise, as much as they want. And they spread it far and wide. And there is no limit to how much they can print. Well, there must be some giant bookkeeper in the sky, Tex. No, there is no bookkeeper. Well, Congress keeps track of it. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Congress keeps no track of it, nor does any bank keep track of it. It's all done at the Federal Reserve, which is the central bank of the whole world. Now, it works with other financial groups. International Monetary Fund, the G20, the International Bank of Settlements, the European a construction bank, etc., the World Bank. But essentially, it's the Federal Reserve Bank. And they print as much money as they want. And when they think there's too much money out there, they withdraw some of the money. They take it back. We want our money back. And when they do that, then people are denied credit, and that causes constriction of the economy. That causes recessions. So when they print more money, it causes booms. When they withdraw money, it causes recessions and depressions. And they can print as much as they want. But what if Congress says no? I mean, the Constitution says the House of Representatives is the House that, you know, the branch of Congress that where all the money bills go to. And then there's a chairman and a committee of the House Appropriations and shut up. They don't do diddly squat. They don't know what they're doing. They're a bunch of alcohol, crazed, psychopath, nutty politicians who are just in it for the money and the fame and the women and the sex and the alcohol and whatever else they can get. And they don't know anything about it. They don't care anything about it. Don't worry about them. It's the Fed Reserve. Ben Bernanke is the dictator of the world. But actually, he's just a stooge himself. There sit behind him a certain group of men, no more than 20, who rule the world. And they tell Bernanke how much money to print. And one of them's name is not Barack Obama or Barry Sotoro or whatever else you want to call him. But one of them's name is Rothschild. In fact, several of them's name is Rothschild. They tell Mr. Bernanke how much money to print. He prints it up. And America gets so much, and all the other countries get so much. And all of them have central banks. And if they don't have a central bank, then they're a rogue nation, like a North Korea or an Iran. And eventually they will be dealt with militarily by the United States of America, which is the bully boy and the bulldog, the pit bull for the bankers. But America's running out of money. Our national debt, we spend $3 trillion this year, and we got $1 trillion in debt this year. The federal deficit. Shut up! There is no federal deficit. Well, they're going to have to cut my Social Security, and you know they're going to have to raise our taxes according to this bipartisan committee led by Senator Alan Simpson, former senator of CFR and Trilateral Commission from Wyoming. He and Mr. Erskine Bowles, that was part of the Clinton White House, they set up this bipartisan committee, and they say America's about bankrupt, and we're going to have an austere economy, and we're going to have to take money from people, we're going to have to tax people more, and cut their Social Security. Shut up! It's not true! They don't need to take away anything from anybody. They can give you as much as they want to give you. They can triple your Social Security. If you're a military retiree, they can raise it 100 times. Listen to me once again. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Mr. Ben Bernanke and the other governors, okay, of the Fed Reserve Bank, Timothy Geithner was one of them. He was from the New York Fed. But there's a Dallas Fed, and you know, each area of the country has a governor. But they all get their marching orders. They get a nice, handsome salary so that they can meet a few times a year and then several other times by phone. What a plush job that is. And Mr. Bernanke says, here's what the combine want us to do. Here's what the boys are telling us. And they go, that's good. I'm glad you've informed me, kept me up to date on what's going on. Thank you. And we'll do what's appropriate here in our area of the country, whether it's New York or San Francisco for the California area or whatever. Or Dallas, the Fed Bank for this area of the country. We'll take care of it. And they do it. And they pump out as much money as they want. And the government sells as many treasury bonds of the 2-year, 5-year, 10, 20, 30-year bonds as they need to finance the debt. And when the government needs more money, it just votes itself more money. And it seems like at least once or twice a year, Congress appropriates more money, and they have to keep raising the national debt level. We owe how much? Okay, raise it. How would you like to do that? Spend as much as you want and say, well, we've gone way over our spending limits. Let's just move our budget up. Just keep increasing your budget. Well, how do you get the money to fulfill your budget? We'll call up the Fed and they sell a bunch of treasury bonds for the treasury. I mean, they sell the treasury bonds. But who does the treasury sell the bonds to? Who's buying the bonds? Well, the Fed. Sort of like if Wanda and I went into a partnership. And I said, Wanda, I'm going to spend $1 million this year. But I don't have $1 million. So I'm going to sell debt to you, my wife. And so I'm going to give you this IOU, and you're going to give me $1 million. And she said, well, how can I get $1 million? And I said, just create it. Just put it down there. In fact, I've decided I want more than $1 million. I want $5 million. So she writes down, Tex owes me $5 million. And she gives it to me. And I take it down to the merchants, and I said, I have this statement from my wife, Wanda. She's the Fed, and she wants me to have $5 million. They say, well, good, sir. What would you like to buy in my store? Buy whatever you need. Your credit's good here. And after I spent my $5 million, I see $10 million more of the stuff that I want. And I say, Wanda, give me some more. And it just keeps going. And we have our own little printing presses. And we print as much money in IOUs as we want. Well, then I have a handyman that works for me. He fixes my windows. He fixes my roof. He mows my grass. And he makes, $500 a week. $2,000 a month. He's barely able to keep his family fed on $24,000 a year. But, you know, I don't know why he should get that much money for that. Now, I know I'm spending $10 or $20 million a year that Wanda's given me this credit for. But I don't really think that he deserves $24,000. You know, that's, why should he get $24,000? He's just a common laborer. And me, I'm a genius. I've set up a financial system where I can get 10 or 15 million, 100 million if I want it. But why should I pay this peanut guy over here, this peon, $24,000? So I call him in. I said, you know, Jose, you're making too much money. I'm going to have to cut you back to 20 from 24. And by the way, I've been paying for your medical bills. I'm going to have to cut those out. And, you know, I'm going to have to start making you pay some money around here. Because while you're here, you use my bathrooms and you drink water from my faucets here at the house. And I'm going to start charging you $3,000 a year for those services. Pretty soon, I've got old Jose over there working for like $5,000 a year. He's almost paying me. I've got $15 million coming in. He's only got $5,000. And I'm thinking of cutting him back some more. Because every bit that I cut Jose, I get to keep. And I'm greedy. Greed is good. That's what the elites say. Now, I know you think it's impossible for the Fed to print all the money they want. But could you please tell me who it is that will stop them, that will prevent them? Who it is that says, Mr. Federal Reserve, you must tell me in advance how much money you're going to print and get my approval. There is no one like that. No one. You said there must be. There must be a committee of Congress that oversees the Fed. Let me tell you, I said it again, there is no one. Now, I know Mr. Bernanke goes to Congress ever so often, about once every 3 or 4 weeks, and gives a little testimony. And the congressmen just sit there and they literally, it's almost like they're frightened to death of this great man because they know he represents somebody great, somebody powerful. And they know if they give him a hard time, it'll be their last term in office.
Well, Mr. Bernanke, could you please explain again now how this works?
Yes, the way it works is the Fed Reserve does everything it wants to do, and you peons in Congress keep your mouth shut.
Thank you so much, Bernanke. Now I understand. I see the way clear. You're doing a great job, Mr. Bernanke. Let me compliment you. In fact, could we give you a pay raise next year?
That's about the way it works, friends. You think it doesn't. You think, no, that's not true. Can't be. It is true. Every day, Alan Greenspan was observed getting out of his limousine, standing on the sidewalk, and then walking slowly the 50 feet up the steps of the Federal Reserve Building. The news people on CNBC and the other financial networks and shows were always curious. They said, and I heard him say this, I wonder what he has in that briefcase. I wonder what there is in that briefcase he's got. He had this little thin briefcase.
If they had only asked me, I could have told them. The same thing George Wallace, when he ran for president of the United States, told people. That those pointy-headed bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., all they have probably is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in there. Maybe a bottle of gin or vodka. I think that's about it. He doesn't need to know anything. He doesn't need to study anything or analyze at all the economic and financial statistics of this country or the world. He's given his marching orders. What an easy job. Sit there on a nice, polished, clean desk and wait for the phone to ring and be told what to do. Collect your big, fat check. Go to Congress and watch as people jittery, sit there jittery and scared of you. And everybody is frightened of you. And every once in a while, you make the cover of Time Magazine, Newsweek. Of course, Newsweek is going out of business now. That's how they make money. That's how they create money, out of thin air. There is nobody to tell them how much to make, how much to create. There's nobody to tell them how much to withdraw from the economy. They are kings of this earth. They will do whatever they wish to do. And if they tell you that the America government has a huge deficit, it has a huge deficit. Because they are like Big Brother. In Orwellian fashion, Winston is being interrogated by Mr. O'Brien, the government persecutor, and O'Brien puts up his finger, and he has three fingers, and he says, how many fingers do I have, Winston? Well, you see, Winston was hooked up to an electric shock machine, and Winston said, you have three fingers there, and he received a severe shock. No, that's the wrong answer. Now, how many do I have? And Mr. O'Brien held up two. And Winston said, you have two fingers you're holding up. And he got another horrible shock. And this continued for a long time. And then finally he held up some, doesn't matter how many fingers he held. So now how many am I holding up? You've got to get the answer right or we'll keep shocking you, Winston. Winston said, please just tell me how many are there. I'll accept whatever you say. Whatever you say, just tell me how many fingers are there. I want to say what you want me to say, but I don't know. Please, would you just tell me how many fingers you have there? And O'Brien smiled and said, now you're learning. Now you're becoming more and more close to loving Big Brother. Now you know. Now you understand. 2 + 2 does not always equal 4 in the world of 1984 or of 2010, 2011 in the United States of America. 2 + 2 equals exactly what the bosses of Ben Bernanke say it is. Not the bosses of Barack Obama. He's a stage puppet, a sock puppet, a nobody. Get your masters correct. And Bernanke is frightened to death himself that he'll make a mistake. But there's somebody very powerful, very psychopathic, very monstrous behind the scenes, pulling the strings. Whether our country will have a Great Depression or not depends on them. Not how much you spend, not how much our government spends, not how much you save, not whether they pay you more in Social Security or less in Social Security. Or have welfare programs or no welfare programs. It all depends on whether they say 2 + 2 = 4 or 5 or 7 or 0. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. I'm going to reveal some things about the Fed Reserve that you must know because it will reveal to you your future. Well, Tex Moore's back again. You know, we're talking about America's finances, the future of the American economy. I think a lot of these answers can be found in my book, Conspiracy World. It's a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. I have a lot of economic information in that book, plus more. 137 different conspiracy aspects unmasked, revealed. And if you haven't read this book, I think it will be a shock to your system. But maybe a shock that will help you out. Get you moving again in the right direction, away from the lies and the propaganda and toward the truth. Conspiracy World. It's a huge book. It's like an encyclopedia, really. 432 pages, but it's huge, a huge book. And we're asking only $25 for the book. $25. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $30 for this huge encyclopedic book. And I promise to you, in this cold, cold winter, it will keep you nice and hot, at least as your anger flares off. You'll see inside what really is happening. Conspiracy World by Tex Mars. My name, of course, is spelled M-A-R-R-S. I don't know why they did that, but they did. Just order from the man from Mars, the Martian. Okay? Conspiracy World. You can phone us to order the book. We're here 8 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday, Central Time, at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can write to us and send us that $30. It'll be postpaid then. And ask for the book Conspiracy World, and we'll get it right in the mail to you. We usually only take a day or two to fulfill our orders, and then it depends on that old slowpoke post office or UPS, whatever it goes. But we'll get it out real fast because we want you to have it, because I am of the opinion that when you order something, you deserve it. You shouldn't have to wait forever and ever. And that's why we treat you. You're like a family. You're like a friend. You know, when I go home every night, my little dog, Daisy, she's lapping at my heels and biting on my knees, and she wants me to feed her. I get a little kick out. I have fun giving her food for the day. Of course, every time I go toward the refrigerator or something during the night, she's howling some more. But maybe, you know, when I write a book like Conspiracy World as author, it makes me want to write some more just like it. I love to expose the devil and his works as human agents. And I think you'll love to have it. You'll be like Daisy, my dog. And I'm not demeaning you, because I love my dog. Believe me. She is one spoiled dog. And Wanda, it's all of Wanda's fault. I tell Wanda all the time, Wanda, you spoil that dog. But she says, I noticed that you always give it a treat when it asks for one. Well, that's true, but you're the one that's spoiling. I blame her for everything. Wanda, it's all your fault. But oh, she's a great lady. She's a great lady. She understands me. And I know every once in a while she has to slap me around, but, you know, I have to do what she says. I've told Wanda, Jerry, you know, I said to Wanda, I'm writing a book about her and me. She said, really? I said, yeah, I'm going to entitle it, you know, Yes, Dear. And, oh, boy, she didn't like that. I said, it's going to be the story of our life. It's going to be Yes, Dear. But, no, it's not true at all. No, she's a sweetheart. She really is. I get in so much trouble from saying these things, but, you know, I just enjoy them so much, especially when she's not around. There's really only a door. I don't think she can hear us. Do you? You hope not? Jerry says, I hope not. by the way, if you've received from us a little bookmark in the last couple of months when you bought something from us or you received our print newsletter, we sent a little bookmark and had a calendar on it. Had a picture of Wanda and I, and we like to send those out once a year. Last year it had a picture of our little white dog, Daisy. This year it's got a picture of a cat. Wanda's holding a cat. And so if you wanted to know what that cat, some people, you know, been writing me and saying, hey, who's that cat? Or, you know, what is that cat? Well, it's the ministry cat, Prissy. And she lives here at the ministry. We rescued her. I found her myself. It was a horrible, thundery, lightning day. And she was cowering as a little bitty kitty under one of our little storage buildings. As I drove up the parking lot, I saw her. And I reached my hand in to get her. And, of course, she hissed at me and tried to bite me. But that's another story.
I don't blame her. Here's this big old lug trying to reach for you and grab you and pull you out from under a building where you're trying to keep warm and, you know, away from the cold. She was just wet as could be. Poor little thing. She wasn't any bigger than my hand, I don't think. Well, I finally, you know, I said, well, how am I going to get her out of there? I feel sorry for her. Can't leave her in there. You know, who knows? Some critter, coyote or something, probably come and eat her. So, you know how to do that. What we did was just got a little pitcher of some milk. And, you know, after a while, she came out by herself. I looked out at my back window here. I could see her. And she just snuck over there looking every which way. She got to that milk. Well, that was the end of it, you know. Then pretty soon she worked through her, you know, lovely little ways, the way cats do. She worked her way inside. And now she runs this place. She's like the office manager. This prissy tells everybody what to do. Between she and Wanda, it is terrible. And Wanda has spoiled Prissy. Jerry, you know that. Boy. Just a minute. I have to stop the show. I think Prissy stopped right here now. And I have to see there. I have to open my drawer, pull out some little cat treats. I keep them in my drawer here. If I don't have those, she gets angry, you know. She jumps up on my papers. Well, listen, we got to get going here. We got to talk about these darn old banks and everything that's going on. But again, the book is Conspiracy World. You can get it on powerofprophecy.com or call us 1-800-234-9673 or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's move right on from Prissy and Daisy and Wanda and being spoiled. And I admit, I'm probably spoiled by Wanda, too. She spoiled me, too. I have to admit, yeah, she's done that. That's all her fault. If I'm a little heavy, it's Wanda. She cooks too good. I told her that. She said, you need to lose weight. I said, it's all your fault. I think she actually believed that. She actually believed it was all her fault. I had her believing that for a little while, that she cooked too good, you know. Okay. I shouldn't be saying these things because these wives out there, then they'll go to their husbands. And they say, you're just like that Tex Mars. You know, you guys are sneaky. Well, I suspect your husband loves you a lot, ladies, because I love Wanda tremendously. Well, we'll get on something here. I want to talk more about the banks. I want to talk about what's happening in America. Now, there's one senator from New England whose name is Bernie Sanders. And amazingly, this may be the only guy that has any honor and integrity in our Congress, other than maybe Ron Paul. To some extent. But Bernie Sanders, unfortunately, is sort of a socialist communist. And he ran on the Socialist Party ticket. They call him an independent, but he always votes with the Democrats because he's a liberal. Past liberal. He says, I'm a socialist. He's the only socialist in our Congress. Now, they were passing this Financial Reform Act last year. And Bernie Sanders was on the committee. And he asked for just one thing to be put in the bill. And you know what? Somehow, by some terrible miracle, it passed. I think they knew the American people were so angry about the Fed Reserve and what was happening to our economy. But they got it through. And basically, the provision that Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont somehow got stuck into this financial reform bill that was passed said that the Fed, by a certain date, and that date was this month, in fact, would have to tell us who it's been given money to, which banks and such it's been given money to, and how much. Now, the Fed's never had to do this before, and they've never been audited before, and we don't know if they're lying or not, but they submitted us a list. It may only be a partial list, and if it is, it really is terrible. But I don't know how it could get any more atrocious than it is. Now, as you know, our Congress, in addition to the Fed Reserve over here, our Congress approves money for various things. And one of the things the Congress approved was a $700 billion, that's with a capital B, as in boy, $700 billion TARP program, Trouble Asset Relief Program, TARP. And they helped banks and insurance companies and such to stay solvent during the crisis of 2008 and 2009. You'll remember that. They gave out money to banks and such. And there was incredible controversy over whether they should give money to the government, should give money also in their TARP program, their $700 billion, to two of the automakers, Chrysler, Daimler Chrysler, and General Motors. And most Americans, it seemed, according to the polls, didn't believe that General Motors or Chrysler should get a dime. And they, Congress called the chairman, the CEOs and the chairman of Chrysler and Ford and General Motors before their committee and embarrassed them, humiliated them, and said, you haven't been running your companies right, and now you want the government to bail you out. Shame, shame on you, General Motors and Chrysler. Now, Ford said, we don't need any money. We're doing just fine. We don't need any money from the government. But General Motors and Chrysler said, we may go bankrupt if you don't give us a handout, a loan. So the government put them through absolute hell, the chairman and CEOs of those companies. In fact, they lost their jobs. General Motors basically became Government Motors. And the government still runs it to this day. They just had what they call an IPO, which means they sold stock. The government still owns a lot of stock, but now some private individuals own stock as well for the first time in General Motors. But in any case, what I'm trying to tell you is the people of the United States were angry at the corporations and at the banks and didn't really want to give money even to General Motors and to Chrysler, although it would have cost tens of thousands of American jobs if they had gone bankrupt. So the government did give these people so many $1 billion, and they were allowed or able, enabled to stay in business. And everybody was mad. The tea parties across America met and raised Cain and had their placards, their signs, and had demonstrations and had candidates for office. And so the Republicans swept the House and almost won the Senate in this election, mostly based on the fact that the government's spending too much money with their $700 billion TARP program. And any congressman or senator that voted for the TARP bailout was in jeopardy of losing their seat in Congress. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just telling you this is what happened. Everybody was mad because the government bailed out the banks and those two auto companies, plus some insurance companies, AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and these mortgage insurance companies that messed up so bad. Now, while we were all concerned and angry and furious over $700 billion, now keep in mind, that's a lot of money. That's an incredible amount of money. The government had never had bailouts of $700 billion, ever. But while we were so concerned and the Tea Party's organized and were doing their thing, what we didn't know was there was this little agency, this so-called quasi-government agency called the Fed Reserve out there that was printing up more money. Now, remember, Congress had to tell the American people, for the most part, where the $700 billion went, although they gave Obama sort of leeway to sort of spend it as he wanted. And as I understand it, they wasted most of that money, other than to the two car companies. But in any case, everybody's worried about this $700 billion. What we didn't know was, or I did, and I told you, that the Fed Reserve, according to a congressionally appointed inspector general, a man named Neil Barofsky, who for the first time, you might say, did just a miniature audit of the Fed and Treasury departments. And he came back and told Congress that they've already spent $27.4 trillion over there. $27.4 trillion, Mr. Barofsky said, the Fed has spent and the Treasury Department. Where did they spend the money? How did they spend the money? Who got the money? He didn't know, or he didn't want to tell us. And by the way, they should have made headlines across America. $27.4 trillion spent without congressional approval, without President Obama knowing one thing about it, by some guy who is unelected named Ben Bernanke. How's that possible? Now, $27 trillion. As I understand it, my figures may be a little off. I mean, after a while, what's $1 trillion here and there, huh? But I believe the budget of the United States government for this entire year is around $3 trillion. I think that's so. I may be off. I think they're going to spend $3 trillion this year. So while they're spending $3 trillion, that's for everything, for our military, for our highway system, for our agriculture department, for our state department, for all these expenses, for the wars over the Middle East that are worthless and futile, for all that. Spending $3 trillion, the Fed spends $27 trillion plus. That's nine times as much as the federal government spent all year, which was a record federal budget. Where did the money go? Well, guess what? His every 3 or 4 week time came to go to Congress, and there was Mr. Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, and the only senator to ask him where all his money went, the $27 trillion, was the socialist, Mr. Sanders.
What did you do with the money? Well, I don't specifically recall.
Huh? The guy spent $27 trillion, but he can't remember where he spent it? Folks, my dad used to give me 50 cents when we went to the store, and then he wanted to know where I spent it. This guy got $27 trillion. He actually didn't get it. He just printed it without anybody's approval, and now he doesn't remember where he spent it. Don't they have a computer? He could get the list of people that he gave the money to or banks or whatever and have it there in 5 minutes. Now, Mr. Sanders, the congressman, the senator, I should say, should have said, I'll give you 5 minutes, and I'll wait here. Get on the phone and have your assistant from the Fed drive your limo over here, have the chauffeur drive your limo over here and give me the list so I can put it in the newspapers and everything. But Sanders didn't. Sanders said, could you tell us if any foreign banks, that means non-American banks, got money? And Mr. Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, said, it's possible, but I can't recall. Well, that should have been a big clue. It's the Federal Reserve of the United States of America, not of Germany, France, Switzerland, Spain, Indonesia, China, Hong Kong, or Fiji Islands. Mr. Sanders said, I would have liked for you to have had that information for the Senate when you came here. And Bernanke just sit there and his little ticks. He has these nervous sort of ticks, you know, the way a psychopath has right before he kills his latest victim. Little mouth jitters and chatters just a little bit. So Sanders introduced this thing, this little bitty provision, you know, in a bill of, you know, 1,800 pages or something, just a little bitty paragraph that said the Federal will report to the Congress by a certain date and tell us who got money and how much over the last, you know, several years. They had hated that provision. And they were a couple of weeks late in giving out the information. And now I've got it for you, friends. But they're still lying. They only are admitting to $12.3 trillion. That's only four times as much as our federal government spends in an entire year. They are admitting to giving away mostly loans. Many of them will probably never get paid back, although they say most of them will. That's a bunch of baloney, too. At 0% interest or 1/4% interest. Not even 1% interest. How would you like to get a loan, billions of dollars in loans, for zero interest? And they probably never going to make you pay it back because the Fed doesn't have any policemen. They can't file charges against you for not repaying them, especially if you're a Spanish bank or a German bank. But they wouldn't give to foreign people, would they? That's American taxpayers' dollars. $27 trillion, that's probably our federal budget deficit for the next 50 years, and they're worried about your Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all those things. They're worried about your pensions. They're going to have to cut you. You're going to have to pay more. They're going to make you pay more taxes. I mean, the Congress and the President of the United States just went through about 2 years of hell debating on whether or not they should give the Bush tax cuts to us, as they've been over the last 2 years, just to continue those tax cuts. It's been a national argument. While we were worried about a few $1 trillion of the Bush tax money, the donkey heads at the Federal Reserve were spending $27 trillion of your money, and now they've admitted to $13 trillion, not billion, not million, trillion. But it may as well be 13 gazillion. Because no one can really figure out how much $1 trillion is anyway. But I suppose if you started stacking $100 bills on top of each other, the stack would reach all the way to the planet of Venus, and you hadn't got to $13 trillion yet. That's why they don't print the money. They just make a notation in the computer, and it's electronically in cyberspace. Cyberspace has the $13 trillion. It's not printed up by the mints. Now, you may be amazed, as I was. This is the first time since 1913, when the Fed Reserve was created, they've ever admitted or told us who they gave money to. I think they ought to go all the way back to 1913 now and tell us. Since 1913, here's who's been getting our money. We've been printing money as much as we wanted to and giving it to our friends. Who are their friends? Okay, well, let's start off. You know about Goldman Sachs, the biggest bank in the world. Mr. Blankfein, what a name. Blankfein. All the people here are Jews. They got all this money, by the way. Goldman Sachs Bank, one of the largest banks in the world. They got billions. Citibank, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, Pacific Investment Management Company, PIMCO, the biggest hedge fund in the world. They all got billions. But wait, they didn't stop in America. Did you know that UBS Bank over in Zurich, Switzerland got more than any American bank? They were talking about, they were worried that Bank of America or J.P. Morgan Chase or Goldman Sachs or Wells Fargo might go bankrupt. Meanwhile, our Federal Reserve was given trillions of dollars to foreign banks. Let me name some of them. This is from the Fed Reserve report. And you won't read this in your local newspaper, and you won't hear it by Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck or Anderson Cooper or Katie Couric or Brian Williams or all the others, shills of the New World Order. They won't tell you this, but I will. The Royal Bank of Canada got billions. The Toronto Canada Dominion Bank. The Scotia Bank of Canada. Then let's go over to Europe. Barclays Capital. Bank of Scotland. The Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in Germany, got billions. Credit Suisse, one of the largest banks in the world. BNP Paribas. They're from France and everywhere else over in Europe. Societe Generale. I think that's a Belgium and France bank. UBS of Switzerland. Dexia. Bayerische Landesbank from Germany. The Dresdner Bank from Germany. The Commerce Bank from Germany. There was the Bank of South Korea, the Korean Development Bank. Scotland, Germany, France, Belgium, Korea, Canada, all getting billions. In fact, they got way megabucks more than American banks got. No wonder he has this nervous tick about him. And when Senator Sanders said, "Where did the money go?" "I can't recall." You lying dog. You lying devil. You printed up trillions. You've admitted now 12.3 trillion. Now remember another thing. You remember Ford said I was watching Mario Bartiromo on CNBC Business Channel, and she was interviewing a guy named Mulally, who is the CEO of Ford Motor Company. And he was bragging about the fact with her that the Ford Motor Company, unlike GM and Chrysler, didn't have to get a dime from the American taxpayers. We're so well managed. And we're selling more cars in Europe and China than we're selling in America even. We're Ford Motor Company. We're the international car maker now. We're doing great. We're the world's largest. Ha, 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 Ford Motor Company. And we didn't need a dime, says Mr. Mulally. You filthy lying dog, because now it turns out that Ford Motor Company that told the Congress, "We don't need your money, you can humiliate GM and Chrysler, we won't go through that process." They didn't have to, because they were getting money under the table from the Fed Reserve. Now, there's nothing in the Fed Reserve's charter that allows it to give money to corporations. And no one that I know of, no financial writer in America for the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, for any of these groups knew anything about this. But that's not the only one. And by the way, they gave billions of dollars in low-cost or no-cost loans to corporations, some of which were the richest, most prosperous in the world, and were not fixing to go bankrupt. For example, McDonald's. They've never had a problem with money. McDonald's is building new McDonald's restaurants in China, Europe, Indonesia, Africa. McDonald's received billions of dollars from the Fed Reserve. They didn't need the money, but they got it. They're
You have to ask who owns the stock, all these interlocked directorates. Now, while our two automakers bent their heads in shame and humiliation, our Fed Reserve gave money to Toyota, one of the richest automakers in the world. Toyota of Japan got billions of dollars from our Fed Reserve. But that's not all. How about BMW? Even Harley-Davidson got billions of dollars. Harley-Davidson motorcycles. The largest telecommunications phone company in the world, Verizon, got billions of dollars. They're not about to go bankrupt. They didn't need the money. How about Caterpillar, the world's largest maker of earth-moving equipment, cranes and so forth, all that stuff, bulldozers. They received billions. How about General Electric? Billions. This is unbelievable, folks. This is absolutely incredible. The list goes on and on. In fact, there's a list of 23,000 corporations and banks. 23,000. And then the Fed, when they gave us this list, which comes to $12.3 trillion, they said they had, there was another $800 billion they've decided not to tell us about. What? But the congressional law said you've got to tell us. Na, 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 na. We're not going to tell you. What are you going to do? Send the cops out to get us? Ha, 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 ha. Volkswagen got money. Honda got money. Hyundai Motors got money. Nissan got money. Did I mention Volkswagen? I don't want to repeat myself. How is that possible? How is it possible that Ford, Volkswagen, BMW, Hyundai, Nissan, Honda, they all got money and we didn't even debate it. Their CEOs didn't have to go to Congress and bow their heads in shame. The CEO of Toyota, Honda, Hyundai, this is incredible. Folks, America's in big trouble. They spend as much money as they want. And then they tell you, we're in such debt, you've got to pay for it. Your taxes have to be increased. We've got to cut your Social Security. Let me tell you something, friends. Don't let them do it. They want to bankrupt America. They want to level us. They want to make us like a third world nation. Meanwhile, they're taking all the wealth of America. They're plundering it. And they're giving it to banks and corporations around the world, the largest multinational corporations. It's time to say no, no, no. Write to your congressman. Call your senators. Go on, Google this information up. It's online. In fact, I have an article here, a list of 35 largest companies and banks that got stuff. You won't believe them. They're from Korea. They're from Japan. A big bank in Argentina, another one in Spain got money. It's your money. It's my money. If they're going to print it, they're going to give it to us and not these jackals from overseas. The Fed Reserve is not the bank of the world. It's the bank for the United States. And frankly, as Andrew Jackson said, when he killed the National Bank, the Fed Reserve, he was very proud of it. I killed the bank. Isn't it time that we all shout together, kill the bank, kill the Federal Reserve, and set us up with a fair system, an open, transparent system of banking and industry where the communists at the top and the communists that are hidden behind the bushes aren't running everything. Because that's what they are. Communists. They control our government. The military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about. We must put a stop to these jackals or everything will be lost. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy. Thank you.